Eye of the Wood by Michael Kilman. Read by the author. Dedication to Audra, who helped me find that damn word. Also, for being my sister from another mister. Only the light of his own two eyes cut a path through the dense shadow wood. But eyes only reflected light. They did not, could not, make passage for more than one person. And so Empty walked his path alone, unsure of the fate of his surviving companions. He could only hope that they would make it beyond the hungry darkness and reach the eye of the wood. The Chosen knew torches were temporary, knew that once extinguished, they would have no path together. The light of the torches helped the crossing and made fellowship possible in the dark. It gave them an island of safety, but only so long as they were lit. When the breath of the forest blew them out, there was no more safety. They must finish the journey alone. They had no choice. At least one must succeed. Things at home were bleak after the failure of last year's ritual. Empty put one foot in front of the other, gripping his shoulder pack tight against him. He squeezed his way through the darkness that pressed against his flesh behind him and on his sides like the palm of some ancient gnarled hand. There was no way to describe what it was like to move through the living dark of the shadow wood. A veteran had told him it was like moving through water or molasses, but that wasn't quite right. The darkness was slimy, too, like brushing up against warm, moist moss that stroked your body in anticipation. Empty pushed his way through, feeling the strange warmth of the hungry wall. Its caresses wouldn't be so gentle if he closed his eyes. His eyes watered. They were dry. The wind had stolen their moisture. The breath of the shadow wood had not relented after it extinguished the torches and their paths divided. Most of the time, it was a warm, woodsy wind, but when it had consumed several of his companions, he could smell the darkness digesting. It didn't last long, but it had lasted long enough. He needed only think of his struggling companions for the smell to flood his senses with awakened memory. Here there could be no dreaming. Here all dreams slid their way into waking life. Empty stopped. He ached. He stretched, pushing the living darkness as far as he could away from himself. His bones and joints groaned and popped. The darkness swallowed the sound. Empty drew a long, deep breath and released it. Then he risked a single blink. In that fraction of a second, he felt the press of darkness against him, but there was not time or space enough for the shadow wood to claim him for a meal. The alchemist of his village had made each of the chosen a potion to use on their eyes, but Empty's was long gone. They were to use it every 2,000 paces, and he had listened, had gave up counting when the drops were gone. The journey was not supposed to take so long. The veterans had agreed only 2 days in darkness if you walked true to center. They gave each of the chosen 3 days of eye potion. Empty hunkered down and reached into his pack. There was little in the way of provisions left, but what he had plenty of was the special sticky gum that the alchemists had made to help the chosen keep their eyes open once the torches went out. He withdrew the gum from his pack and carefully lifted the lid of the crock. He would need to blink before he used it. Once he applied the gum, it would be difficult to blink. He needed only rub it off, but to blink right after application was a waste. He looked at what was left and guessed he had 1, maybe 2 days' worth. Empty doubted it mattered. He wouldn't be able to keep going any longer than another day anyway. Still hunkered, he took another deep breath and blew it out, chancing the third blink. This time, he dared hold his burning eyes closed a moment longer. Branches like teeth whipped out, invisible in the darkness, and pricked his flesh. He opened his eyes with the brightness of pain, but the branches of the shadow wood had withdrawn that fraction of the second that his eyes had opened. Sometimes he could glimpse the branches that looked like tentacles as he opened his eyes, but it was fast, mostly just a blur. He examined his fresh wounds. They were small, only one puncture bled. Empty withdrew a bandage from his pack and wrapped it quickly before the Shadowwood could taste him. Then he rolled back his top right eyelid, smeared the gum, and felt it stick. He repeated the process for his bottom right lid and left eye. The gum would last a while. How long, he wasn't sure, but he would feel the stickiness wearing off, would feel a short, tugging sensation when he needed to reapply. The surviving veterans of the ritual trained the Chosen for 2 weeks. They practiced not blinking, using the gum, and using the eye drops almost every day. The training helped to keep them alive, but nothing saved them if they fell asleep. Empty was tempted to stop for a rest, to sit and lean against the darkness, which would gladly prop up his slender form, awaiting his closing eyes. But it would do him no good. He was tired. There were little rations left. They lost most of the rations when the torchlight went out and the Shadowwood fed on supplies and sleeping companions alike. It ate everything. A veteran had told the Chosen to recite the sacred words of the ritual when they needed courage in the hungry darkness. Every parent in his village taught the song to their children, for none knew who would be chosen, and all needed to understand the mistakes of the past. He felt the urge to stop and rest grow, and so he sang the first few verses of the ancient story passed from the mouths of his ancestors. In ages past, before the world turned dark, one final living tree held within it a spark. And as the world collapsed under the greed of the old ways, this tree of light shined brighter with each passing day. But hidden and sacred, the Agoro tree remained, known to very few, a secret well contained. The guardians of the tree watched the world burn, and understood humanity was past the point of no return. He pressed forward. He did not know if he was 30 feet from the edge of the wood or 3 miles. When you were in that darkness, it rarely relented, never gave space save a few feet in front of your face. There were thin places sometimes where the press of darkness was weaker. The tree limbs blocked the light of the stars and moon at night and the heat and furnace of the sun by day. Shadowwood was greedy by nature. Perhaps it was from a trait of its origin, something in its birth. Empty sang another verse as he pushed through. As the axe of men grew more guile, new poison took root after every act so vile. The Shadowwood rose from roots of hate, and it was on life and blood that it thrived and ate. Few survived the cataclysm that came before, and small communities formed from the last war. But the Shadowwood spread despite their change of heart, and some communities died before they could get a new start. He had to cross, for there was no food left for his family or the families of his companions. The world was passing into greater shadow, and only one space, which lay in the heart of the Shadowwood, the eye of the wood, had the sacred food that held the time of darkness at bay. Empty's left eye itched. In his weariness, he reached up and itched it without thinking. Before he realized what he was doing, he blinked, and his left eye stuck shut with a crust of the sticky gum that still clung to his top lid. He felt a sharp, stabbing pain in his left angle. He winced, clawing at his eyelid to unstick it. A branch scratched his left cheek, reaching to pluck his eye, but before it could do any more damage, he pried his left eye open. The only reason he had survived was that his right eye had stayed open. The gum held true. He stopped and took several deep breaths, heart pounding. He felt the taste of vomit in the back of his throat, but swallowed the flavor. You couldn't puke with your eyes open. Quickly, he reached back and removed the gum from his bag again and slathered it on the lids of his left eye. He felt the soft sucking of blood on his left cheek and left angle. The sensation made him shiver. He pressed on to the darkness, walking in a straight line, trying to pretend that he was strolling through a meadow back home and ignoring the voices and visions that now danced at the edge of the dark. Now that the Shadowwood had a taste of him, it would sing him a siren song, made of his memories, edging him toward madness. There was hardly a choice. Use the gum on his eyelid or clean the wound. He trembled at the thought of the tree's tongues tasting him. He wanted to quit then. The memories and voices counseled rest. He shook his head in challenge and pushed against the gelatinous darkness. Empty sang another verse as he walked, trying to drown out the sound of voices. The guardians shared the fruit of the agora a delight. They found consuming the fruit of the sacred tree resisted the blight. And when they tasted the fruit, their dreams would be only of light. And all that was needed was a single bite. The fruit of the agora grew only in the eye of the Shadowwood. The tree itself was woven from living light. It was a seed in the living darkness, and the fruit of its branches carried its spark. When consumed, the community grew and built new things, and the Shadowwood receded, but only a little at a time, never fast enough. Empty felt a short tremor in the darkness, as if the Shadowwood's stomach was growling. His pores prickled goose flesh, and he could feel the little hairs on his bare arms push up against the thick darkness, kept only at bay by his open eyes. His voice shaking, he sang more verses. But the seed of greed grew in the hearts of men once more, and over control of the agora the neighbors went to war. The blood they spilled from battle poisoned the sacred land, and the Shadowwood rose around the tree, clutching it like a hand. The survivors of that war found the darkness spread far and wide, and the Shadowwood so thick they could not get to the other side. They mourned for the fruit that kept the darkness at bay, and would bring back the light with each passing day. The Shadowwood grew thicker and spread across the land, and the hope seemed lost for the world of man. But something in the tree longed for light and love, and gave the survivors another chance to rise above. Their violent, greedy, and arrogant ways, by proving their worth and venturing through a dark maze. Once a year, when the passage opened only for a week, Empty's people had a lottery for all those who had reached the age of 17. Those selected must brave the Shadowwood. In most years, 5 in 10 returned bearing fruit of the agora tree and shared it amongst the people. But some years, none returned. In those years, the Shadowwood swelled at a rapid pace. When it swelled, as the ancient story said, more trees took root in the few remaining lands of light and spread their hunger and aching greed to bring the night. In some years, as many as 7 may return. Those were years that the darkness walked back, where they could even harvest the Shadowwood and create new tools and talismans to bring more light to the world. But those years grew rare as the will to press on waned amongst Empty's people. Once, they had tried to plant the fruit of the agora, and for a while it grew and thrived. But it would bear no fruit, and before the next year's ritual, it withered and died. The darkness contracted and spasmed around Empty. You could not hear the screams when the Shadowwood claimed a meal. No, the darkness swallowed all light and sound, but Empty could feel it. He could trace the tremble against him as the darkness held him at his edges. Empty shivered. He wondered who it was, who of his companions had started drifting into the dreamless sleep. Perhaps it was Magus or Emma. They had sat talking with Empty while a few companions risked a nap when the torches went out. But he did not know who the fourth companion was, for the moment the fire went out, all light and sound around them were swallowed by the dark. There was no way to communicate. He pressed into the wall of dark, his eyes wild, and forced his way forward. He had to make it to the center. His wives and children were waiting for the fruit of the agora. If they did not get it this year, their souls would starve and bring more shadow wood into being. The darkness had grown bold when no one returned from last year's harvest, and 2 years in a row would eat into their lives like cancer. There remained only a few thousand acres of the land of light left. Suddenly, the darkness felt thinner, and empty felt his heart lift. He was so tired, and the whispers in the back of his mind were growing louder. Rest, empty. Rest your eyes for just a few minutes. It was the only sound in all the forest. The void of sound made his mind beg for distraction, and Empty felt temptation to give in, but he kept his children in the front of his mind's eye, kept his wives, Myra and Franca, and their husbands in his heart. They were his light now. He took another step, and another, and his pace quickened. He was certain he was approaching the center now. He was told by a veteran of the journey that sometimes when you approach the edge of the darkness, it grows thinner and the path forward becomes easier. But the veteran had also warned that there are thin patches too, how a mountain has a false summit. The promise of relief could drive one mad, he warned, but when you reach the thin spot, let it give you courage, not hope. Hope could be stolen. It was something outside of you. True courage could not. Courage you had to surrender from within. Empty could not help but hope, and for a moment he thought he was almost through. Once there, he could stock up on the fruit of the agora tree, would have a stable light source, and all would be well again. This is what he was taught. But now he felt the lesson slipping into the hungry mouths around him. Another cry of pain rippled through the dark. And around him, he felt the tension of the shadow wood raise as if in some mad chorus, more like a scream than a song. The darkness pressed on him, the vibration intensified like muscles working on a meal. Dizziness, weakness, and nausea took over Empty. He wanted to close his eyes and put his head down and ride out the vibration. Motion sickness stirred him in circles. The shadow wood thrummed and pulsed in a strange rhythm. It was almost musical. He knew what it meant. 2 days ago, the shadow wood had consumed 6 of his companions. It was foolish to let so many sleep at once, but they had grown arrogant in the light of the torches. When the gale took their light, he felt the death and consumption of 6 companions. He could feel their scream, their attempts to break free from the closing, smothering darkness as it chewed them. The first thing the darkness took was your only defense, your eyes, your sight, your mirrors of the universe. Once you could no longer see, there was no way to escape the mouths. Empty felt the echoes of screams in the thrashing body as it digested one of his few surviving companions nearby. The darkness tightened around him. He felt his breath pushed out of his lungs and the beginning of the teeth digging into flesh. When the shadow wood fed, it grew strong, could press harder against your light, and if you could not persist, it took your eyes. Empty's eyes watered, and they screamed for moisture. They itched. He kept his hands at his side, standing rigid, not letting his hands reach for his face or go anywhere near his eyes. If he closed them now, when the shadow wood was digesting, he too would be a meal. It would take a fraction of a second for the branches to grab hold, take his eyes from him, and finish him. He trembled, sweat gathering on his brow from the heat of the moist dark. His bladder let go. Even so, he kept his eyes open. The press of darkness peaked. Empty felt the gum in one of his eyes lose its potency. He pushed against the darkness and reached up, holding his lids open, knowing that if he didn't, he could not keep them open longer. Empty would run, if possible, but the thickness of the darkness would slow him, and he would only further exhaust himself. His fingers could feel the lids of his eyes fighting, the muscles in Empty's face cramped from exertion, and then he closed them. But just a moment before he did, the shadow wood released its grip on him. It had finished its digestion. He had made it. Empty held them shut for just a second and opened them again. In that brief space, the tiny pinpricks of branches of the shadowwood scraped the edges of his bare arms, drawing blood. He felt a strange, sucking sensation on his wounds and shivered at the lapping of many tongues. The voices in his head grew louder with every taste of his blood. Empty tried to drown them out by thinking of his loved ones, but they stole their voices and turned them to their wicked purpose. He walked faster, hoping against hope he would find the blessed relief of the light that must be near. Then Empty alternated blinking eyes. The sharp branches of the shadowwood slashed every time he closed one eye. The wounds were not deep. Only beads of blood gathered on his skin, but when they did, he could feel a strange sucking sensation sweep the wound, and the blood vanished. The strange sensation of the sharp blossom of pain when he switched eyes and the sucking darkness lapping him up over and over was maddening. Empty's wounds were appetizers. He was the main course. It was unwise to tempt the darkness with a taste. The voices were mad shrieks now. The shadow wood did everything it could to break down your mind and defenses. They had warned him of this. He must press on, no matter what strange things the woods did to him. Empty had once asked, why they do not all go and live at the foot of the Agora tree and spread light out from there. The veteran who had counseled him and his fellow travelers had said that once, long ago, it was tried, but no one had ever heard from the group again. They found no sign of them at the foot of the tree when the passageway opened the following year. No, the veteran had told him, this is a journey that must mostly be done alone, for never does anyone make it through the whole passage with a torch shining. The eyes always led part of the journey. The ritual was about the strength and sacrifice of the one so that they could all have light again. The press of the darkness was almost complete. The thrumming and vibration made Empty's bones feel as if they would shatter under the pressure. Empty stopped and kneeled. The voices in his mind shouted for submission. There were little promises of relief that echoed in the darkness of his mind. What wonderful lies! He wished he could believe them. He put his head in his hands and wept, keeping fingers apart so the light of his eyes still shone out and made sure not to blink. In the end, it was the tears that saved him. His eyes were moist again, and the moment he realized that crying help, he stood and took another step forward, and another. Again, the shadowwood shuddered, and the darkness tightened around him, slowing his pace. His second of three surviving companions was lost now. This time, he fought through the nausea and fear and kept going. Empty thought of his lost companions, recalled the greatest tragedies of his life, and forced all his deepest sorrow out of the hiding place in his heart. He commanded his pain to drive his tears endlessly. Snot dribbled down his lips, but the more he wept, the better his eyes felt, and the better his eyes felt, the more light reflected from within. The darkness grew thinner again, but this time it continued to thin in degrees. With each step, he could feel a greater certainty that he was almost through. Then he tripped forward over something. As he fell forward, he tried not to close his eyes, but he couldn't help it. The gum had softened with his tears. His instincts and exhaustion betrayed him. In the fraction of the second his eyes were closed, he felt the tension of all his muscles stretch out over the years in anticipation of the piercing of his eyes and the sinking of teeth into his flesh. But nothing happened. Empty pushed himself up and lifted his gaze. There it was. Golden light shone from the Agora tree, which climbed higher than the shadowwood. It cast light on the greedy darkness that hoarded the power all for itself. Its great leaves were the size of a human head, and shimmering golden fruit winked like stars against the background of its dark, greenish-brown trunk. The trunk was massive, 20 people reaching around it to hold hands could not hope to clasp each other's fingers. Above, the sun climbed to its highest point, and what few clouds were there drifted lazily. He knew that if he dared to climb to the top of the Agora tree, he could see his village beyond the Shadowwood. At least, that was what one veteran had told him. One of their group had made the climb, hoping to see if there were other villages around that would send emissaries of light, but they had seen none but their own. Their village was a circle of light, a clearing in the darkness, its own Eye of the Wood. "Perhaps," the veteran said, "we are the only ones holding back the creep of the Shadowwood." But now that Empty was through, his tears turned to laughter. His laughter turned to smiles that crept to the heavens. At first, he blinked furiously. Then Empty closed his eyes and held them shut for several minutes. Once he opened them again, he threw his bag at the foot of the tree and then stood and ran along the edge of the Shadowwood, careful not to cast a single finger into the dense darkness. Outside the wood, it looked only like a thick forest. It was not until you were inside of it that you understood that the trees were one living, breathing stomach. It was a hungry ghost, forever famished and unable to fill its craving. Such was a mirror to humanity. Such was the poison gift they had all deserved. The Agora had its own song to sing, and Empty felt all the burdens dissolve, all the fear and anguish fade in the golden light. He ran to the trunk of the tree and wrapped his arms around it as wide as he could. Then he stopped and lay down in the soft grass between a pair of roots. He gathered some of the falling leaves of the tree and made himself a bed, cradling himself amongst the roots. Empty listened to the sound of the stream that passed under the shadow wood to nourish the sacred grove. All around him was light and the softness of air. He gulped in the breath, opened to the space, and felt himself relax for the first time in days. His body released all its tension into the soft bed. He spread his arms wide and reveled in the rest. The fruit of the Agora, as if knowing his presence, dropped into his open palm. It glowed in the same way the tree did, and he knew that if he simply held up this fruit as he journeyed home, he would find passage. It would still not be easy, but it would be easier. He could blink and walk at a steady pace, and when he was tired, he could surround himself with fruit and rest. Empty bit down and let the juices of the fruit quiet his hunger and slake his thirst. He felt the joy in the flavor, and in moments he consumed the entire thing. Then a lightness took him. He felt as if someone had lifted him off the ground, and he lay in suspended softness. He closed his eyes and slept for a long time. How long? He could not say. But the sun was just rising over the shadow wood when his eyes opened again. Empty stretched, grabbed his shoulder pack, and filled it with as much of the Agora food as possible. He counted 34 in total. It would be enough to give his village a single bite each so that they could press on for another year. It would hold the shadow wood at bay until the way opened again during the summer solstice, the day of greatest light. He wondered briefly at his companions, but shook his head. It was not possible that any had survived the time he had slept, or if they had, they may have found their way back to the village. It was easy enough to be turned around, and some veterans never made it to the Eye of the Wood, but still came home after a few days. He turned back toward the Shadow Wood with the fruit in his hand. It was said that all who made it to the Eye of the Woods returned home safely. Empty had been told that his whole life, and he had always questioned it. But now he understood that even if he lost his light, his tears would lift his spirits. He was the first to use tears, but he would not be the last. He took the first step into the Shadow Wood, and he knew he would find his way home to spread light amongst his people. This year, they would only keep the darkness at bay, but he would share his knowledge in hopes that during the next ritual, all 10 would return and chase the darkness like never before. Empty sang the last verse of the tale as he stepped forward. Once a year, when the sun lingers longest in the sky, 10 volunteers can journey through the shadow wood and make their try to bring back the fruit and share it with their kin, and push back the shadow wood with the light that shone from within.
The end. This has been Eye of the Wood by Michael Kilman, read by the author.